This series is sponsored by Black ProGen Live, Genealogy with Seasoning, an innovative web series hosted by Nika Smith and True Lewis featuring the most diverse voices in the genealogy and family history space. With more than 80 episodes and counting, don't miss out on the laughs and learning from your favorite genealogy crew. Visit whoisnikasmith.com to subscribe and more. Hey, you guys, this is Nika Smith of whoisnikasmith.com and Black ProGen Live. This one is called Unearthing Easter. It's actually a blog post that I wrote some time ago that talks about my ancestral origins and not really knowing very much about my paternal grandfather's family and what I discovered through the process. So happy listening, happy watching, happy reading. Growing up, I didn't know much about my father's side of the family. I knew my grandparents and my only first cousin, but I don't remember meeting or learning much about anyone else. This made things pretty hard when trying to conduct my family history research on this side. Additionally, everyone in my immediate paternal family died by the time I graduated from college. After connecting with one of my father's first cousins on the same side of the family, I had some great leads. I learned the names of my paternal great-grandparents, James Benjamin Sewell and Teresa Holmes Sewell. As with most families, I had only previously knew their nicknames, Honey and Nanny, and that they lived in New Orleans and Chicago. One issue arose early, though. In order to trace back to Honey and Nanny correctly, I would need to find my grandfather on the census with them, right? But here's the thing. I found Honey, Nanny, and all of my grandfather's siblings on the 1920 and 1930 census, but I couldn't seem to find my grandfather anywhere. No one ever said he didn't live with his family, yet there was this mysterious child named Oswald. I had never heard anyone mention him. My grandfather's name was Jack Oscar Sewell. Another call to my father's first cousin revealed exactly who Oswald was.
Your grandfather. He just started going by the name Jack Oscar. I don't even know why. I just remember folks coming by the house one day asking for Jack. And we were all wondering who Jack was. And then your grandfather comes out and says it's him. So he went by Jack from then on.
Okay. My grandfather was named Oswald. I laughed for days about this. My mother couldn't believe it either. It's because no one ever called my grandfather dad, granddaddy, uncle, or any of those names. He was straight up Jack Sewell, no chaser. If you see a picture of this guy, you know exactly what I mean. I tried to track down more information on Honey and Nanny. This led me to their marriage license, which was issued on April 6th, 1910 in New Orleans, and it noted the names of their parents, Benjamin and Esther Sewell, and John and Eliza Holmes. I then found Honey and Nanny living together in 1910. My hope was to find Honey's parents on the 1900 census, but I actually discovered something else. While I did find Honey on the 1900 census, I found him living with his grandparents, Smith and Letty Reeder, living at 6322 Annunciation Street in New Orleans. I placed the address in Google Maps and saw there was still a house there. Wow! Unfortunately, though, his parents weren't in the same household. Since he was born around 1890, I couldn't look for him on the 1880 census, so I didn't have any really good leads as to where to go next. Honey said he was born in Concordia Parish, Louisiana on his World War I draft card, and searching there yielded information for Benjamin Sewell, but he was never listed with anyone named Esther. I then went back to the 1900 census. Another grandchild, Elnora Spears, was also in the household with Honey. It wasn't altogether clear if she was Honey's sister or if she was a first cousin of his. I went back to notes that I had from an earlier conversation with my cousin. She told me that Elnora was actually Honey's sister, and she ended up in Oakland, California. She had sons, and one of them was a famous cartoonist named Maury Turner. My cousin remembered Aunt Elnora's old address in Berkeley and told me that her, Honey, and my father went out on the train to visit Aunt Elnora and her family when my father was a kid. Can you believe that she still remembered that address from so long ago? To boot, I had no idea my father had ever come to Oakland. He had never, ever mentioned it to me. My cousin said she didn't remember Honey's mother's name, but that they came to visit because she was dying and living with Aunt Elnora. She also mentioned that Honey and Elnora had at least two other brothers, one named Amos Williams from Danville, Illinois, and another whose name she didn't remember, but who lived in Texas. I got in contact with Maury, the cartoonist's cousin, and we talked for a good while and eventually formed an amazing relationship.
My mom was a very religious person. You know, we had to spend our days in church, you know, as the kids coming up. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to go anywhere. She's from Natchez, Mississippi. And she came up and went to Fisk. I have a graduating diploma from Fisk, something in health. I'm not sure what it was. And there was only eight black women graduated.
He told me he didn't remember his grandmother's name, but he remembered them going to get her from Natchez, Mississippi, and bringing her back to Oakland. He then mentioned to me that his grandmother and his parents were buried at Evergreen Cemetery in Oakland. After a chance trip by the Alameda County Courthouse, I obtained Aunt Elnora's death certificate for just $1. And there is where I finally saw the name again. This time it was Easter, and her last name was Williams. I ordered Aunt Elnora's Social Security application to see if I could glean more information from it. When I got it, I saw the same name again, Easter Williams. I was pretty sure at this point that she was definitely my great-great-grandmother. A member of my genealogy society then connected me to another researcher, and it turns out she was from Aunt Elnora's husband's side of the family. The researcher then sent me pictures of Easter, Elnora, Smith, and Letty. Apparently, Easter Williams is like John Smith for African-American women living in the South. It took me 5 years to find Easter on a census. But when I finally located her in 1940, she was living in Oakland, just like Maury said. In 1920, she was in Natchez, Mississippi, with her husband, Samuel Williams, and a son named Alfred Williams. In 1900, she was living in Concordia Parish, just across the river from Natchez, with sons Alphonse, Anthony, and her husband Samuel again. In 1880, she was still in Concordia Parish, but she was listed with her mother, Letty, and they were both under the last name Fountain, but living right next door to Smith Reeder, who I would learn later was actually Easter's stepfather. I never, ever found Honey living with his mother, Easter. At this point, something that should have happened way earlier immediately came to my mind. I lived near Oakland at the time. Why on earth had I not visited the cemetery that Easter and Aunt Elnora were buried in? After visiting at the office at Evergreen, I headed across the street to where some of the older burials were. The ground staff helped me get to the right row and spot where Aunt Elnora, Uncle George, and Easter were. Just as Maury said, there she was. I had been driving by her for years and didn't even know she was there. I sat and talked to her for a bit, thanking her for the guidance, although it did take years for me to get there. Eventually, I ordered Easter's death certificate from the state of California and learned the maiden name of her mother, Letty Fountain, and that she was born in Mississippi, and the name of her father, Daniel Parker, with an unknown birthplace. I was pretty sure that both Letty and Daniel were both enslaved, but where? This is where DNA would take over and unearth one of the most amazing finds of my career. The Trask 250 Plus is a multimedia series documenting the lives of more than 250 formerly enslaved of the Trask and Ventress families of Louisiana and Mississippi. To date, more than 2,000 people have been traced to this group through DNA and traditional genealogy. Special thanks for this episode goes to Ramona Morgan and Maury Turner. Creative Commons license for the tracks Roy and Foreign Cart Instrumental by Jay Blanked.